All right, everybody, welcome back to the Freedom Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm your host, Lindsay Sutherland, excited today to bring you another phenomenal guest all the way from Australia. I always love to time travel here on the podcast. Joining me today is Matt Rad, who is the founder of eBusiness Institute. And for those of you who are interested in a unique way to get into online business without having to do a lot of the bootstrapping yourself, you're going to want to stick around for today's episode because that's what we are about to talk about. Thanks for joining me here, Matt. Thank you.
Don't miss an episode. Subscribe to this show on whatever podcast player you prefer and follow me on Facebook and Instagram.
Hey, friend, it's Lindsay. Pause with me for just a second. You're listening to this podcast right now, and maybe you've listened to a dozens or hundreds of episodes. Maybe you've just even done all the things. You've bought the courses, bookmarked articles, joined the Facebook groups. All because you know you need reoccurring income. It's something that's been weighing on you for a while. You might have heard me talk about it, the someday dream. Well, we're going to make this the today action. It's time to get moving. And here's the thing. You've got all the information at your fingertips. And the fact of the matter is, you don't need any more information. You're drowning in information. What you really are starving for is clarity. Everybody in the world is teaching you what to build. And YouTube is full of how-tos, but nobody is helping you figure out which one fits your business, your lifestyle, your actual audience. Which model makes sense for you? How do you know if people are going to pay for it? Where do you even start? Those are not questions that another podcast episode can answer. You, my friend, need clarity, and that's what I created for you. It's a free guide. It's called Earn 5K per month on repeat. Five simple steps that help you figure out what you should build to get that reoccurring income flowing. And it's not just what everybody else is building, it's what makes sense for your business. Because here's the truth. You don't need more information. You need to see your specific path forward. That is clarity, and that's what this guide does. So text the word freedom to 55444 and I will send it straight to you. Again, that's freedom to 55444. It's time to stop listening to all the things and start building. Okay, but definitely keep listening to this one episode, shall we? The point is, the next step is waiting for you in the guide. So take action, get that guide sent to you, and let's build something together. All right, back to the episode.
Awesome. Thanks for having me on, Lindsay. It's great to be here.
My pleasure. Absolutely. Well, let's kick it off. Just tell us a little bit about how you guys got into this business to begin with.
Yeah, well, I guess like a lot of your listeners, we were always looking for freedom in our lives. So when I say we, my wife is my business partner on this journey. We've been in business together for over 30 years now. And we met, Lindsay, would you believe, studying zoology at uni. So we were literally studying red kangaroos. We were going to be the world's expert in those. We're both from the country and we thought being zoologists would give us freedom so we could live out in the country, but it was so far from the truth that it was just not funny. You're working for the government. Typically, if you're a zoologist, you're always scrabbling for money, and that was not freedom for us. So we found a very unique way to get freedom, and that's through buying and selling businesses. That's all we've ever done. We've never had a job. We quit zoology completely to buy our first business. And I know it sounds really unusual jump, but actually for me personally, it wasn't. As a kid, I loved business, but no one in my family were business people. And I always wanted to get into a business. So when Liz met me and we realized we both wanted this freedom to live in the country and I wanted to make lots of money as well, she was on board 100%. It was absolutely fantastic. And we made all the mistakes. We bought a small manufacturing business and we got given the wrong advice by an accountant because we didn't know what we were doing. We were in a country town. The accountant was a country town accountant. And I think we just went on a journey ever since then to learn how to do proper due diligence on businesses. We had to learn. We realized we made so many mistakes. We had to learn off mentors. So we found other very successful business people. And like your listeners listening to these podcasts, in those days, you physically go and hang out with these people and talk to them. And that's been our journey. And to this day, that's why we love teaching people how to do proper due diligence on any kind of business. We were also brokers, But what happened, what changed for us, maybe like a lot of your listeners, is kids came along. So this was in the early 2000s. And that's when Liz and I both decided, okay, we really do want to work from home now. And we want something that gives us a lot more flexibility, like literally gives us true freedom. And we realized it was actually Liz who figured it out. This is before brokers even existed for online businesses. We'd seen the internet. And because we're here in Australia, we owned import wholesale businesses and we're exporting to America at the time. And Liz just said, this internet thing means we don't have to stick physical products on a container ship anymore and wait months and months to get our money in. We can be in America tomorrow, Matt. Why don't we just do what we've always done, just start buying up online businesses instead of bricks and mortar business, because we were buying bricks and mortar businesses at the time. And that's pretty much how we came up with the strategy. So
that's
we're
pretty
one
neat.
Of the first to do it.
I think the theme of my week this week has been learning through hardship. Like,
yeah.
You
Yeah.
know, I don't know. Do you ever notice how life sort of goes in like
patterns?
Oh my
goodness. Yep.
Even my pastor on Sunday was talking about, like, his whole message was about how sometimes God gives us a hard time for a reason and it's part of his plan, right? And I was like, oh, okay. I leave Sunday and I'm like, yeah, that's good. And then today hits and I'm like, oh, maybe that's what that was all about.
Yes. That's what well, then for us too, it was hardship. Like for your listeners, I know, you know, I made it. It sounds great. People hear our story. Oh, you've always bought and sold businesses and, you know, you think it's not easy path, especially when you're a young entrepreneur. We're always in debt to the bank. And like you said, I think we were being tested a lot for those first 15 years that we're in business. Once we got online, it was a lot easier because we scaled down the risks significantly. And I think for your listeners, Lindsay, that's really important in this day and age, is I know there's a lot of people out there who do what we do, you know, buy and sell businesses, and they're teaching that. But it worries me that beginners take on too much risk when they buy their first business. And we found with online businesses, you can scale that risk down by buying very small, simple websites, keep the risk low. You don't have to go into debt. You can do it as a part-time thing. You know, we don't want to see people quitting their jobs. And I think for us, it just went really, really well. It was so much easier than bricks and mortar businesses. Bricks and mortar businesses are really tough for your listeners, and I do not recommend doing them when you're a beginner, particularly if it involves physical inventory, because all our net worth was tied up in a warehouse somewhere, and we're always in debt to the bank. And admittedly, we were buying and selling, you know, several businesses. We'd own multiple businesses at once, but I wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
This is much more family friendly. For us, family came first. That was part of freedom. And I saw on your website, you know, that was important for you in on your about. So it's exactly the same thing. You suddenly realize in life, when especially when kids come along, actually a big part of freedom is not just financial freedom. It's all about the family. And for us, that became very, very important. We wanted to raise our kids, like, you know, be working at home with the kids. And on that score, online businesses have been absolutely amazing. And now our kids are interested in online businesses as well, of course.
Of course. I know. My son's yesterday was vibe coding some video game.
Yes.
I'm like, well, all right. I know it's a whole new world for them compared to what it was for us, you know. And also I noticed too that there's just such a difference in perspective. Like hearing you say like, oh, online business was so easy for us because you had it so difficult with the challenge of brick and mortar. But it obviously may not feel so easy for anybody else who's currently working in a job, or maybe they're even a freelancer. Freelancing isn't too hard. There's no inventory. It's just trading time for money, except for the fact that it becomes like a ball and chain rather than freedom. So what are some of the, I guess, challenges people might or should think about before they jump into buying a business online, an online business?
I think the biggest challenge is the learning curve. It's like, is it Tony Robbins? No, Jim Rohn actually originally said it. Most people, what is it? Overestimate what they can achieve in a year and vastly underestimate what they can achieve in 10 years. And I think it, not that it takes 10 years, but that's the thing we've observed. People think, and they see all these online businesses and, you know, they see our clients getting really big success. But I think people overestimate what they can achieve in a year, because life is so much more busier now. That's the main thing, because we personally coach people. people are under a lot of pressure. So in terms of like, I'm not talking money wise, I'm talking time wise. There's a family pressures, there's work pressures, they're working. The people we work with are typically working 5 to 9. They're not the 9 to 5ers. They work big long hours, they're high achievers. So trying to fit that in with a new skill of going online, it is a completely new skill for most people. To earn money online is a very unique situation. It's quite different to normal businesses. There's still basic business principles. Most of our clients don't come from a business background, so they've got that as well to learn. So there's a big learning hump. And then the other thing is, I think that if talking of challenges first, is learning the digital skills and understanding, again, it's learning how the environment works, how you can monetize websites. There's so many different ways you can make money online, but you'd need to learn the foundations first. So for anyone listening, that's my number one bit of advice. Just learn the very basics, like learn how to build a website. That pretty much puts you ahead of 90% of people on the planet straight away. It's a very easy skill to learn these days. And that way, that's where we start everyone. Just learn how to build a simple, basic website. At least then you understand how things go together. And then you can start outsourcing if you need to from there.
And it is true because I still see like a lot of website builders charging, $3,500 up and
Yeah.
up. I mean, 30,000. It's a really interesting market. There's no, it's not like, if you're going to go buy a book, I mean, the book pretty much is the same price anywhere you go, maybe a few dollar
Yeah.
changes. Like website building, you can find them all over, like range wise. It's interesting. So investing in that, it's definitely a skill. You are going to want to learn how to manage your site anyway, because at some point you're going to want to jump in and make a change and not screw it up.
Yeah. And you need to know how to outsource at some point if you want freedom and you want to leverage this, because you can have these websites working for you while you sleep, right? But you still need a team of some kind to be maybe not working on it full time or anything, even just once a month, but you need to know what they're doing. And we're very practical, hands-on people. And we had to learn all this stuff ourselves. Like Liz had to learn how, I'm not good with computers, whereas Liz is. And she learned how to hand code websites back on in any listeners a bit more advanced would know that the program Dreamweaver. And that was a lot of hard work. And she can program with HTML and all that sort of stuff. Thankfully, you don't have to do that anymore. But that's the other thing that was our, that's, Lindsay, when we first got online, that was the main thing that held us back. We put off going online for 2 years because we were scared of the technical side. And then in the end, we just kept watching it for so long. And we could see, we had some friends that made a lot of money online. And we realized the online space is perfect for what we do because we're all about owning a portfolio. So we've never been big in a real estate thing. Instead of owning a portfolio of real estate, we've owned a portfolio of businesses. So when we got online, that was our immediate goal, is to own multiple websites in certain niches. And it worked really well. And the great thing is too, for your listeners, just an inside tip for where you get started. If you want to start buying websites, what we recommend is you don't have to be an expert in these niches, but we go into what we call passion niches, where people are really interested in, learning gardening or learning how to play guitar or golf or crafting. We've done a lot in the crafting space. Homesteading is absolutely huge. Just those sort of niche, tight niches where there's a loyal following, where you can get because in this day and age of AI, it's really, really important that we're presenting real information that's useful to people. So we find passion niches still to this day work really well.
Honestly, that makes sense because that's also what's working on podcasts and YouTube channels.
Yeah,
You
that's
know,
it.
it,
Yep,
the
same thing.
nicher you go, the better you flow.
Yep.
I don't know, like I'll make a
Yeah,
rhyme
yeah,
out of
yeah.
it, but it's true. And I think people get bored. I found that, in the beginning, I thought, oh, well, I love this and I love that. Even my podcast originally was the Passive Income Examiner. And I thought this was a great idea. Oh my gosh, everybody wants passive income. Well, I didn't realize there's real estate, there's online business, there's, all these different ways of doing it. And I wasn't as niched down as I thought. And so just over the years of just kind of like You figure it out as you go. It reminds me of that game, like Plinko, where the little thing just drops down until you finally land on your
It
final
is a bit.
landing place.
See that it is a bit like that. See what you just said. You figure it out as you go. I think that's a bit. That's what I was trying to say before. People, what is it? Overestimate what they can do quick. They kind of. We notice with our clients, they figure it out as they go. And you know the beautiful thing about online businesses, you can, like you've found, you do figure out. What's the saying? The riches are in the niches. Like, and so the good thing with online business is you can start out small. Like you can buy a money-making website for under $1,000. Now it's not going to be perfect. It might only make a couple of dollars a month or whatever, but it's proof of concept. So you can see the money come into your bank account while you sleep. And so what that means is you can plod along learning on small sites with very little risk. It's like, you know, what the cost of doing a diploma, you know, like it's just a low, like what would you call it? It's like buying a textbook for university or something. And then once you've learned on it, you just sell it anyway and get your money back. And then you go into a bigger deal. Unlike real estate or buying traditional bigger businesses where you've got to put in typically six to seven figures, that's a lot of risk if you're a beginner. And particularly if you're working in a really, you know, highly paid job, do you quit your job to just do that? We don't recommend you do in this day and age. Keep your job for security and you can start out buying small little sites, just learn on them. And then if you don't like it, don't continue with it. But if you do like it and you can find, and we recommend finding those little passion, very niche websites. So, Lindsay, we've got a site on pigeon racing. I know
Okay.
nothing, even though we did zoology at uni, we studied kangaroos, not pigeons. We know nothing about pigeons. We just outsource the riding. Pigeon racing is a huge sport in the world. So it's very niche. It just ticks along, makes about $1,000 a month, has done for 10 years. You know,
See,
that's.
that was what I was going to ask you, is like when you say passion, do you think people do better when they, I mean, I guess it's a double winner if they can find a website that's performing
Oh,
and is
yeah.
a passion they love. But
Yeah.
if they're just getting started and maybe they want to buy a site, how important is it that they know the topic, like you were saying?
Yeah, all things being equal, it's good if you do know the topic, but the majority, honestly, the majority of the sites that Liz and I have bought over the years, and I look at our clients as well, and our most successful clients, the majority of the sites they buy, they are not experts on at all. So I can give you an example. Ashleen, one of our very successful students from last year, she won our Student of the Year award for the best website buy. Her background is Silicon Valley in America, and she's in the crypto space, and she's burnt out, right? So she studied with us, and she started out buying these small sites. And just recently, she shared on our podcast, she's now earning around $8,000 a month, semi-passively. It's not passive, it's semi-passive. But with four websites that she has no knowledge of whatsoever. So her first one was Crochet. She's not a crocheter. And she just kept the original owner on to help. And she found there's lots of crochet experts. You can go to a website like Upwork.com and there's heaps of, you know, people who are experts in crochet. They'll write you articles or even patterns. She was selling patterns on there. She doesn't even crochet, let alone create patterns for crochet. So we've been in the crochet niche ourselves quite a bit. It's really easy to find very talented people who will write patterns for that website. So that was just making about $1,000 a month. She's bought a site, would you believe, on fishing. So she knows nothing about fishing. She's bought another site on sewing. She's bought a site on recliner chairs and her favorite site. So all of these sites are making around $500 to $1,000 a month just off ads. They've got ads. So people come to learn about fishing or looking up, you know, what are the best fishing lures to use and things like that. And, they click on an ad and she earns money semi-passively, or she gets an affiliate commission if they buy a fishing rod from Amazon. And so each of those sites are making anywhere from $500 to $1,000 a month. But then the big site that she's bought that's really exciting is it's a site on teaching people how to do Thai massage. And she knows nothing about Thai massage whatsoever. This is an amazing website. It's been running for around 15 years and it's just consistently made anywhere from $3,000 to $5,000 a month. And that sounds a lot, but it varies with seasons and traffic and
Sure.
things. And the original owner, he lives in Bali. He's an expat just living in Bali. And he just wants to cash out. Because he's ready to retire, but he's agreed to stay on and help Ashleen with the website. She's allowed to use all his training videos, everything. It's all just comes all packaged up. No one else even bid on that site. I think she got it for around, is it 40,000, something like that? $40,000 or $50,000. Makes 5 grand a month
Wow.
net
Yeah.
profit. And
That's amazing.
she's going to expand it. She's been, and this is what we teach people, once you know, that's why I say you need the knowledge. Once you know how to be very selective in the sorts of sites that you can buy, you don't need to be an expert in the niches at all. But
That's
if
good
you
to
are,
know.
you're even, if you are into sewing or crochet, then or what you've got, then yeah, it's a lot easier, obviously, if you are into the topic.
And what about monetization? I mean, you mentioned AdSense and you mentioned there was one
Amazon
other.
affiliate
Yes,
engine.
affiliates, that's right.
Yep.
What about like having your own products? Like I would think the patterns on the crochet site would,
Oh.
she could do like a, what do you call that? Like a printable download where they pay
Yep.
for a certain thing. I mean, is
Yeah.
that a pretty good way to go? What do you think is the best way to monetize it, I guess, is what I'm asking.
In the old days, which was just 2 years ago before AI,
Six months ago,
Yeah, 6 months ago, literally.
it
Six, well, I was like in the old days, I'd say, like to say a year ago,
yeah.
it was definitely our favorite ways were AdSense and affiliate commissions, not just off Amazon. But so for your listeners, if you don't know what an affiliate commission is, someone clicks, say you review a fishing rod on a website and you say you can buy it here at Amazon or Walmart. And if the person buys it, instead of you having to sell the physical product, you get a commission off Amazon or Walmart. Now that's kind of 101, very basic stuff, but the best affiliate commissions are the ones where you go direct to the manufacturer because you can get about 20% commissions. It's way better than even selling the product physically.
Yeah.
So up until a year ago, they were our favorite ways. AI and the way Google and search is working now, it's a little bit harder for beginners unless you buy an established website. So it's still our preferred way if you can get it working really well in terms of semi-passiveness, because literally all you've got to do is keep the traffic come to the site and you literally make money while you sleep, literally. Like Ashleen's site, she's making around $8,000 a month while she sleeps. She doesn't have to work on those sites very much. She just has to keep the content up. As long as the traffic's going there, people always click on the ads and she makes money. But the other way that we love monetizing sites now in this day and age of AI, big tip for any listeners, particularly any of you who are a bit more advanced or have a bit of knowledge, is email list is really, really worthwhile. So for Ashleen's website that she bought with that Thai massage, teaching people how to do Thai massage, just the email list alone, because it's got a community and you can sell other things to people. So you can do There's so much you can do with an email list now, or a good following on Facebook can be similar, or social media. But an email list is hugely valuable because you can do all sorts of either affiliate offers, or another favorite way to monetize now is direct sponsorship. So Lindsay, traffic now, because can be so niche, is hugely valuable in this day and age of AI.
I
Potentially even
understand.
Yeah, potentially even more valuable than people realize than, say, a year or two ago. So direct sponsorship deals with individual companies, big and small, I think that's the way of the future. We've been teaching this for the last 15 years. We've always done it. But if you
Yeah.
owned, say, a fishing website, you could go to a fishing rod manufacturer and cut a deal with them and say, look, I'll represent your brand on our website. You pay me a sponsorship fee of, a couple of $1,000 a month, plus an affiliate commission when someone clicks on the affiliate link. And that can be very lucrative for you as a website owner. And that's how we've done it on lots of times over the years in those passion niches. We go direct to the manufacturers and do a deal with them.
The same is true on podcasts. That's actually one good way to monetize a podcast is to have a similar, but it really only works, like you said, if you have a really niche audience. Like,
That's
that's just got to be, because then they're like, hey, I don't care if you only get, I don't know, 10,000 people looking at your stuff every month. But if they had a 10,000 captive people who are for sure in the market for what they're doing, that's like a gold mine to them.
Absolutely. And think about this, where we turbocharge this or put that strategy on steroids is what I said with the email list. You imagine you have, say, a gardening. I'm just thinking there's we have a client that has a big gardening website, and it's a very niche gardening website. If they have an email list as well, not only is the sponsor getting access to being on the website and advertising, putting a big banner ad on there or something like that. It's a really valuable monetization strategy to offer sponsorship deals where they can sponsor a newsletter or an email. So newsletters and emails are kind of the same thing. And you can, you'll see anyone here, I'm sure, is signed up to those newsletters. People pay money to be in there. So that's passive income for the newsletter owner or for the email list. But particularly with big email lists in very niche markets, it can work really well. And a really good example for anyone that's looking for like the ultimate freedom business is travel influencers. So we've got a few travel influencers who are doing really well now, and they've literally built it through building a big Instagram position and showing. We've got multiple travel influencers who we've coached, and they're traveling around Australia and they blog about it. It's passion, so it's real. So people want to see where are these guys visiting, and then they just get sponsorship deals. So Chris and Beck, who are also coaches here at eBusiness Institute, but they are literally right now on a sponsored trip overseas, and they're being paid $20,000 to do that trip.
That's
That's a lot of
awesome.
money for a young person. And all they have to do is blog about it, put a banner ad on, promote the company. And also, they've done deals like that with tourism boards and things. They can get, photography companies will sponsor them because they're really good at photography. And so they just say, look, we're using the Canon XYZ here when we film this, and they're getting sponsorship deals.
That's
So that's,
incredible.
yes, because they've got that, what you said, that very niche following on Instagram. And what's the other one now? They're building up YouTube channel.
I was going to say, so another thing that's coming up right now a lot is faceless YouTube channels.
Yeah, that's an interesting one for us.
Okay, because
I'm
I'm
on the
listening to what
fence
you're
whether.
saying, and my mind just kind of like rocket fires off with ideas. So I'm thinking, okay, if I got into this and I got a niche thing like the crocheting or whatever, it would be so easy to start a faceless YouTube channel. There's a software, I can send you a link to it. It's called Syllabi. I'm actually an affiliate for it, and it's not very much money. And you can become an affiliate too. And then your students could use it. And what you can do is you basically turn all of your blog posts into a short, and it will publish it to your YouTube. So you would grow on YouTube, you'd have your blog, you'd almost be like independently driving traffic without having to necessarily pay for ads, although that's probably not a bad idea in the mix. But you build this huge brand. You could easily do that between those.
That's a great idea because one of the things we're teaching now, because of AI, we need these multiple channels to drive traffic. So like our travel influencers, not just the standard blog. It might be, like you said, a podcast is absolutely brilliant because people are so engaged with podcasts. Same as your YouTube channel, Instagram, LinkedIn is really powerful in certain, it depends on the niche,
It does
but
depend, yeah. The visual ones, like that's why I thought of crocheting, because you can see somebody making it.
The best one is that we're seeing huge results with now with clients is really interesting, which I've never done a lot of myself, is Pinterest. It is also, especially in the crafting niches, of course, that makes a lot of sense, but and travel and things like that. But just across all sorts of niches, Pinterest is really driving a lot of traffic for our clients. And what you do is the strategy is for listeners, you just try and funnel that traffic. This takes time to figure this out, but you basically funnel the traffic where you can, either to your blog or to your email list, and then you just get sponsors in front of them. So you use the social media to drive the traffic and other points on the internet. I'm kind of waving my arms around here, but we don't just in the old days, so when we started online, it was really simple. It's just a blog, like a website. That was all. But over the years, it's evolved into, okay, we need to add in the email list and like as many different channels or points of contact on the internet as we can get. And people want real content as well. So that all things being equal, if you can use your personal branding on the website, that's a better thing. So that's why travel influencers still do really well, because people want to follow individuals and they like to see, you know, what are the real play? What's it like when you park your RV in that particular camping spot? You know, was it easy to back it up? Is there power? So we've got here in Australia, we've got a client called Annette. She'd love her and her husband are traveling around Australia, not in an RV, in a caravan. It's called Grey Nomads. So they're retired, but it's a real niche market. Grey Nomads traveling around in a caravan, and she's blogging about where they stay each night, and you know what's easy to. They've got a. It's a big rig that they've got, and she's got like over 100,000 followers on Facebook, you know, or retirees or people that want to travel around, and she gets sponsorship off
That's so
caravans.
cool.
You know, she's making that. She's retired. She doesn't need the money, but it's just it's really nice
But why not?
passive income.
On that note, like I'll tell you, I've worked in the car business and on this podcast, I've talked to so many people who are, it's all about finance and money and passive income for the future or investments and all that. And I always thought to myself, why do we work so hard on a 401k, which I don't know if they have something like that in Australia, but
It
it's
is
similar.
similar. Yep,
But
super.
what, we all go to work, we get our W-2, we put a little bit of money away, and then we hope we have enough when we retire, or if we're smart, we think ahead and whatever. But why not just build up assets that pay you so that
Absolutely.
you have the money coming in? You don't have to worry about it. You're not going to. So what if Social Security goes away or whatever in the States? It's like you don't, if you're not reliant upon it, or you do get injured or whatever, and you have something that can be easy enough that you could do even from a medical bed, if you could, something simple like that. I think it's a great future-proofing way to build a business. And I don't think AI is going to take it away too much. That what I think
No.
is going to happen is it's going to get saturated for sure. So brands that start now and build up, like we're talking about, like this web of the brand, right? You've got your socials and your email and your YouTube and whatever. Those types of things will be ahead of the game. And then pretty soon, I mean, right now there's this AEO. I don't know, have you heard of that? It's like AI, it's like search engine optimization, but it's AI optimization.
We do a lot of it. Yeah,
So, I mean, I know that right now that's like a real niche thing and there's a lot, but it's going to evolve. I really think that it's going to
it
get to the point where you could have a YouTube, just like Google shows us, like Pinterest will show up on Google when you do a search, and so does YouTube. And I think that all of that is going to show up in AI just a little differently. It's all going to evolve into something, but I don't see it going away, is my point. Like, it's a good
No.
way path forward what you're talking about.
And I think what we're seeing and what we're saying to our clients and for your listeners' sake is, like you just said, it's going to come to the branding. People will follow very niche. So, okay, that the clicks have changed with standard search engine like Google, but exactly what you said, it's all going to be conglomerated by AI anyway, but people will follow the equivalent of their gurus, but we can all be little mini gurus in our space. So if you're really good at traveling around in an RV, you should blog about it and create a social media space and an online presence around it. And no matter what field you're in, if you're into crochet or whatever, people follow people and they want that real experience. That's what they're looking for. And by the way, that's what Google's always wanted to present anyway, real experience. They don't want the fake stuff. So that's where there's a massive opportunity here with AI. So AI, on the one hand, has changed a few things and made it challenging. But on the other hand, it's enabled the people who are smart with AI. Gosh, it's so much quicker and easier now. Our team size has reduced. So producing some of the content we used to do across some of our sites, you know, take a team of six realistically on some of the bigger stuff. Now it's just down to me and one other and AI. It's so much easier, and we're just hitting a button and everything's just automated. And that's about to, you know, AI doubles every 6 months. So for your listeners, for some of you, that's going to be a scary thought, but you need to be prepped now. And it's exactly like what you're doing, Lindsay. I'm going to come back to something you just said before. We're really, really passionate about this. I don't think you have a choice in this day and age, whether it's through online business or whatever, you need a side hustle of some kind. The security's not there in jobs that it used to be. Plus, people are underpaid now, even if they're working the massive hours. There is no downside to starting a little side hustle at all. Okay, you might have to sleep a little bit less and, do some extra work in on the weekend or whatever, but it's definitely worth it in this day and age. Whether or not it's an online business doesn't matter. We're saying to all our kids, all young people, because the world is changing and it's about to rapidly change in the next 12 months, but in a good way for those that know how to use it. AI is going to enable a lot of things. I wouldn't just stick to a traditional career as well. I'm not giving financial advice, but in this day and age,
Personal experience and
personal
foresight.
experience, just experience of, well, all my friends are, business owners. We all make money online and it is amazing. So yeah, it's evolving, but I think, like you said, if you are using it to create, especially branded, like personal branding, and get that personal following, that's why I'm going really sub niche is really smart. And all things being equal, coming back to like your original point, it would be better if you're in a niche that you're personally interested in. It can be anything. It doesn't really matter what niche, as long as there's traffic and someone's passionate about it. And you use AI to help you research it too. That's the other thing now. So
Yes,
much
that's
quicker.
true. I didn't think of that. It's funny, I use AI every day, but yet there's always still something new I didn't think of that I could use it for. One more
Yeah,
thing.
for us, it's really handy for researching these niches. So if I want to learn about the gardening niche, or I wanted, like Ashleen, she just did all her research on that Thai massage instructional website, just AI. Just get it to tell you everything about it. You can
That's
do full due
interesting.
diligence with AI now.
Well, you know what else I'm hearing you say? This is like a trend I'm seeing with the just listening to the niches and the different things that you guys are talking about. Here's what I'm noticing a pattern. People, the places that are successful are serving people who are the DIY version of whatever it is, right? So if they want to learn Thai massage, it's because they want to learn it maybe for themselves, or they're thinking about getting a degree or something like that, a certification. Traveling, they want to have their own personal experience. Crocheting, they want to crochet something. And so what you're doing when you're online spaces and fishing, same thing. You don't go buy a fishing course. You read it on blogs. Like that's the kind of thing. So think about your topic and what could you do that serves an audience of people who need to figure something out on their own, and really that's what you're doing. It sounds like it, pretty much what you're talking about.
That's actually how we've always made money online. So we were really lucky when we first got online. We learned and figured out back then, in particular, the internet was primarily there. People used the internet to answer questions. And we just learned, remember Zig Ziglar? He used to say, the more people you help, the more money you'll make. And we realized the internet lets us help a lot of people while we sleep. From here in Australia, we can be in America the very next day helping lots of people, when they search up to answer questions. So we've never done the entertainment thing, funny cat videos and stuff. It's always been about answering questions. How do I get fit? How do I? So health, wealth, and happiness is where we just started. Any of those three niches will make you money online. So how do you get fit? How do you lose weight? Or how do you get wealthy? How do you make more money? Or happiness is passion niches, like how do I crochet what I want, or how do I learn to play guitar? And that's served us really well. And I think even in this day and age, it still stands true. Most people, the way we make money is by answering questions online and helping people. And so if you're naturally empathetic, it's actually a lot easier for you to do research and figure out where you're helping people. And you just start looking around online. I think for your listeners too, hopefully, after listening to this interview, maybe you go and look at some of these gardening sites that you're on, or the travel sites, and start paying attention to how are they making money. Oh wow, there's those ads. Okay, yeah, these guys are probably making way more money than you realize. That's the other thing that was really surprising to us and our clients when you first figure this out. You suddenly realize these really basic looking websites, they're often making the owners $10,000 a month. You'd have no idea.
I do know, and you're right. And I look at it and I think, how? This is like a 1995 website.
Yep.
I don't know.
They
It
are,
just
they
but
still
it
make lots of money.
Yes. Well, and it's funny too, because a lot of the people that the demographic that has the money, right, is an older demographic and they're used to seeing that. They get confused on these newer sites anyway. Like I'm thinking of my husband, bless him, but you know, he gets it. And what drives me crazy is like when I go to recipe sites or yeah,
Oh,
and you
now.
and they're just cluttered with ads. I'm like, just give me to the recipe, you know? So you definitely want to have a happy medium there for sure.
Recipe sites are really interesting. So we used to tell our clients to avoid them as a beginner, and possibly that is still my advice because they are a lot more work to make. They're not quite as passive. They're a lot of work to make work, to make lots of money. But in recent years, it's really interesting. We know all the top website brokers in the world, and they presented our events. And one of them said to me, "Matt, I'm going to pull you up on that one." He said to our whole audience, "If you can get recipe sites going well, please come and speak to me because they've seen a record number of straightforward recipe sites selling for seven figures. These are in the millions." And he said, "I'm sitting here right now, Matt. I just sold a paleo website for, I think it was 5 million or something." He
Oh
wasn't allowed to
my.
say what one it was. And he goes, "You will not, it's just this lovely lady. She's owned it for 10 years. She just blogs about paleo recipes and it sold straight away for cash." So recipe sites, I still don't think they're great for beginners, but it's funny you mention that, you know, when you get to them. That's why, Lindsay, you see so many ads on there. They're making heaps of money off them. If they've got
Yeah.
lots of, because they get a following and they get lots of traffic, it's, so that's a really good example for your listeners when you think about it, because it's so obvious how they're making money. That's the sort of thing we want people to do. Start paying attention to how all your favorite websites are actually being monetized. And recipe sites are a really good one.
Okay, I got a question. I'm just thinking of time and I want to be respectful of your time too, but two questions for you before we wrap up. Number one is you mentioned an email site, like managing emails. Do you keep a separate CRM account for each brand?
Very much so.
Okay. I was wondering about that because I thought, man, that's got to be a lot of management, right? And e remembering to do your emails and get them all out there and like that kind of thing.
A lot of that's automated, though. That's what the CRM helps you do. And now, these days, we're automating everything with AI. It's all next level now. It is so much easier. We just use a program called Make, and it's an easy one. There's n8n, which is another one for any advanced listeners, but you can, I think within a year it's going to become even easier. But yes, we use a separate CRM. There's lots you can start out with. Mailchimp's probably the easiest for beginners, or Aweber. We still use Aweber to this day, but
Aweber is good for RSS feeds, that's for sure.
Oh, it's great for simple mail management and stuff. Ontraport's a classic. HubSpot's way more expensive. I wouldn't recommend that for beginners. But yeah, MailChimp or Aweber for beginners is the easiest.
Very interesting. Okay. Then my other question is, where would somebody go to actually buy a website?
Yep, easy. All the brokers, there's heaps of them. We've got an article with 24 places to buy websites, but the main one for beginners is flipper.com. It's actually headquartered here in Australia. That's not why I recommend it, though. We know them really well. We know all the brokers really well. But the reason I recommend Flipper for beginners is because they have websites under $5,000 that you can buy to learn on. So, and they offer, if you go to Flipper, you can kind of start to learn, you can reverse engineer websites. So you can, they show all the numbers and everything, but don't go on the Flipper and buy a big website. They sound amazing. You still need to learn how to do your own due diligence, but Flipper's great. You can go to Empire Flippers. They have much bigger websites starting at, you know, 50, 100,000 plus. Most of the other brokers are selling much bigger websites. There is another site now called Money Nomad. It sells websites under 50,000. So as a beginner, you want to be buying websites under $5,000 for your first one, and then the next one you step it up, you might buy one under 50,000 or under $20,000, which is still way less than buying spending six figures on a traditional bricks and mortar business.
Oh,
But
yeah.
you learn on those small sites first. And then there's stacks of brokers now. There's Empire Flippers, FE International. The problem is this has matured the market and the websites are getting much bigger and there's quite like, and they're all selling, It's
still
minimum
cheaper. I
prices.
mean, I talked to somebody recently. A friend of mine started a Shopify store, and
Oh, yeah, they
she
can
has
be.
some of her own inventory. She paid somebody to build her site, and it
Yep.
all together, I think she mentioned she has over 30,000 invested, and it's still just getting started. So, and there's so much you don't know until you get. Another point to make on that note is that when you buy a site that's already established, their ads account's running, that's a huge thing. You don't want to lose their ad account. They've already got history. Google,
Got
if you,
traffic.
wherever the Google juice is, I was telling her, I said, Google's like the
Yeah,
mob
that's
boss
it.
of the internet. Like, whatever
Yeah.
makes Google happy, we're happy with.
Yep. Yep. That's exactly it. You want that. That's the beauty of buying an existing site, because it's got all those things. And it's got literally, we call it link juice. Like, it's got Google juice there. Like, it's got the Google background, and it's got the traffic. But you'd still need to understand how the online space works when you want to start buying bigger sites. So, learn due diligence. That's the main thing that we're passionate about, that we've been teaching people for 15 years.
I'm gonna dig it. I'm gonna check out your podcast. What's your podcast called?
Digitalinvestors.com.
I'm
Digital
game.
investors.
You've excited me. I'm like,
The Digital Investor Show. Yeah, you'll see heaps of, you can see Ashleen's interview there. It's a really cool one. It's been very popular. Like, we go through the whole strategy of what she's done to buy the website.
very
And
nice.
also, another client of ours, Ian, who's in America. He runs a nuclear power plant, works in, and he does this part time. And he's just bought these small little sites, same sort of thing, that cost around 10 grand, making around $1,500 to $1,000 a month passively. He's got three kids. And there's a really good interview with him, how he's done it with AI. Just every single, because he doesn't have time to work on the sites. It's just him and AI. And he's
Yeah.
built up, bought a couple of sites that are now cover his rent. So,
Okay, I'm thinking about comparing this to buying real estate because I understand buying real estate.
okay,
So when you buy real estate, like you might, let's say you find a house for 150,000, which they're still there, so you get a loan and you have a loan, so you have money going out, but you're cash flowing because the rent's high and you know what you're doing. In
okay.
this case, though, you got to kind of fork out the 10 grand first, and then
Yes,
you
you
don't
do.
make your money back until like a year later, 10 or 12 months later. Is that the main
Well,
difference?
ideally, you renovate it as quick as possible and get the cash flow up. So you're buying, what we teach is you buy the sites that people, that's the beauty of buying these passion sites. People just neglect them. They get bored with them. They're not making that much. Like, they might make, say, $100 a month. It's pretty boring when you own five other sites that are making 10,000 a month. So you just sell them cheap on Flipper as the seller. So we come along and buy them cheap, and we fix them up, and we double. This is exactly what Ashleen and Ian did in those interviews. The sites they originally bought were making $500. We talk about everything monthly. They were making $500 a month. They've renovated them with AI. Now they're making $1,000 a month. So they get their money back heaps quicker. So it's, but yes, you generally get your money back within a year. This is not a no money down strategy. It's not like buying real estate where you can't easily borrow money. Although you do have SBA loans in America, which can make it easier, but you would need experience before you go and get those loans.
Sure.
But
Well, yeah. And be careful
this
with
is
those
a,
guys because what I've noticed is SBA has a whole call center and they outsource their leads. And there's a scam going around. I'm just going to say it since we brought it up so people know. But there's a scam where these lenders are like, you think everything's great. You're getting a $100,000 loan, everything's hunky dory. If you don't read
yep.
the fine print, what they don't tell you is there is no, there's a, we have this thing called a no prepayment penalty, and most of us are accustomed to that. If we pay off our mortgage early or pay off a car
Oh,
early, we don't get penalized. Well, that's not how they're doing these business loans. And if you're not careful, you could lo get a loan for 100,000 and think, okay, well, that's fine. I'll just pay it off in a couple of years. You go to pay it off, you still owe 70,000 in interest or some ridiculous amount because they don't let you off the hook on the interest. So you got to really be careful what you're doing.
there you go. Well, so we've always been, we don't like debt because of our experience in bricks and mortar business. And we had some mentors say to us, just go for cash flow. Always in, we've only ever bought high cash flow businesses. And that's worked really well for us. And so this is definitely not a one of those no money down type things. You have to come up with the money to buy the website. So don't do it if you don't have the money. That's yeah. You got to spend money to make money, though, in my experience anyway, in life anyway, and particularly when you buy businesses, you do get what you pay for. But yeah, you've got to have a couple of grand to buy these. I mean, really, if you don't have some money to buy a business, you probably shouldn't be buying a business anyway. You've got to be able, you're better off building it and cash flowing it that way. So if you don't have much money, the best way is to build websites for local businesses. That's a whole nother strategy that we teach as well, but that works very effectively for people that don't have a lot of cash flow.
There you go. Smart. I love it. Well, what's the website where people can connect with you if they're ready to like learn more about getting involved in this?
So go to our website, ebusinessinstitute.com.au. We've got a free masterclass there that shows how all this works, where you buy the websites, how you the basics of what we're doing when we're doing due diligence, and the basis of our strategy of how we buy a portfolio of websites. So there's buttons all on there for finding that free masterclass. Or you can go to our like you're going to our Digital Investors podcast, where we interview all our clients. So
Yeah,
this is
I'm
great.
excited to learn more. That's pretty
And we've got
awesome.
brokers on there as well talking about what are the current trends, what's working in the current market and stuff. So
Nice.
that's the other spot.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much. This was a great conversation.
Awesome, Lindsay. Thanks so much for having me on. Real pleasure to be here.